Well, it's an exciting day to be here, if you're here, which you clearly are. I feel like I say that a lot, but it usually is. On a Sunday when we gather together to worship God, it's just a good day to be here. My dad is here from the East Coast. Both my parents are here, and my sister and her husband and their 1.5 children. She is pregnant. You know when you're at that stage where you're like, see somebody and you don't want to ask because you don't want to offend them? She is, and so you can say something about it. I always tell her, I was like, if that was me and somebody asked me, I'd say, no, I'm not pregnant. And there's lots of visitors here today, which is awesome. My dad's going to be sharing. The only reason I'm even sharing anything is because of, you're going to see, we're launching a reading plan through the entire New Testament together as a church. And because of the way the dates work, we have to start it today or else we'll be back reading. You'll see the way that works out. But I'm really excited my dad's here and he's going to share what God's been speaking to him and also just along with this challenge. So it's a good Sunday to be here. And I also, there's a lot of visitors here today. It's snowing, so there's a lot of people not here. And then there's some visitors from Mika's church and I think probably some people that came if your church was closed. And I think it's really interesting because this stuff that I'm going to tell you that we're doing is something that we're doing as a church, Transformation Church. But even if you go to another church, this would be really, really good to do. If you have a pastor that says it's not, you should run from that. And you'll see why, okay? This would be really good, even if you're part of another church, okay? This is really, really good. And so I'm just going to introduce what we're doing this year, and then I'm going to have my dad come up. And I'm going to start by reading out of the book of Hebrews. It'll be on the screen. And it's Hebrews chapter 5, and you'll see what the author of Hebrews is saying here. And based on what he's saying, I'll explain why we're doing what we're doing. There's much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. I just got to stop here. I was getting ready to share this, and I texted this verse to Gene, and I said, we should end our sermons this way, like every week. There's much more we'd like to say, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you're spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. Have a great week. We love you. You've got to know when the authors that God inspired to write these scriptures, when they speak words that come across harsh, it's because there's so much love for the people that's being directed at. So sometimes we read some of these words and you might go, man, that sounds a little bit harsh. But it's because the people they're writing to, they loved with an agape kind of love, a love that is a miraculous love from God. And the people, and you'll notice this in your own life, the people that you love the most, you probably say the harshest things to those people. Because if you see them going down a path that is unhealthy or destructive for them, if you really love that person, you're willing to have that awkward and even difficult conversation with them. And so the people you love the most often are the people you say the harshest things to. So when you come across something in Scripture that seems like, oh, that seems really harsh, like instead of being maybe standoffish or offended by that, go, man, God must really love me if he's willing to speak that kind of truth. So we won't end our sermons that way. But it's tempting. It's a funny way to say it. So he goes on. He says, you've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what's right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. And so the title in this Bible is A Call to Spiritual Growth. And really what the author of the book of Hebrews is challenging us with is to grow in our walk with Christ, like deep. Not just to the point where we could say, yes, I've put my faith in Jesus and now I'm following him, but where we can live in such a way that we start to challenge other people with their lives in a good way. A challenge is always a good thing because it's motivated by love, not judgment. If a challenge is motivated by judgment, it's not a good challenge. But if it's motivated by love and a desire for someone else's spiritual growth, it's a good thing. And so I'm going to put up a definition on the screen, and I hope this will be encouraging to you. So a definition, not the definition, of spiritual growth is becoming less of the person I was before I committed my life to following Jesus and more like Christ in my thoughts, words, and deeds. So in this room, we're all at different places in our journey with Christ. Some people are further along in their journey with Christ, and maybe the way they live their lives is far more above reproach than you. And oftentimes what we do is we compare ourselves to other people and we feel insecure or feel like we don't fit in. The scriptures don't want us to feel that way. The scriptures want us to be convicted, so we run to Jesus. And what my desire is for us as a church is that this would happen in all of our lives, regardless of where you think you're at on the scale. Okay, so maybe there's some of us that are sitting here thinking, well, I don't even know if I believe. I don't even know where I stand at all. And maybe, hopefully, you're sensing something of God's presence today. That's our prayer. More than anything, I just hope that you sense God's presence in some awesome way, because he loves you. But what I desire for us as a church, and what this is what we've decided as a leadership team, is that we really want to grow spiritually. So one of the things that we've been effective at is outreach and being a part of, you know, helping people hear the gospel for the first time in the city and being involved in, you know, street outreach and prison ministry and doing the barbecues. Those are all great things. But it's really, really important that we all grow in our walk. And I'm going to read this definition one more time. And I want you to even prayerfully listen to this. And I hope this becomes our testimony, that we would become less of the person we were before we committed our lives to following Jesus and more like Jesus in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Some of us have got the outside part doing well. Like we show up maybe to church and we can, on the outside, look like things are good. But at the thought level, that's where things sometimes get really challenging. And if we're really growing and becoming more like Christ, even our thoughts change. Which is crazy, and I'm not going to preach because I want to turn this over to my dad, but just want to point this out. But as we become more and more like Jesus, the people even that rub us the wrong way, that really frustrate us, and we used to just lash out quickly, like even the way we think about them internally starts to change. Not right away, because if I said right away, most of us sitting here would go, well, not for me, right? But the more we become like Jesus, the more we pursue him wholeheartedly, even our knee-jerk reactions begin to change, because how could it not? God fills us with his Holy Spirit. He makes us more like him. He gives us even the desire to become more like him. And so there's two focuses in a healthy church. And I believe evangelism, outreach is a huge focus that churches need to have, reaching people that are lost, that don't know the gospel, but then also discipleship. And so Jesus, at the Great Commission, he told his followers, he said, go make disciples of all nations, not just converts, but disciples. And this is what I want this year, 2020, for us to focus on. If you consider TC your home church, or if you consider another church your home church, I would challenge you, like, make growing in Christ and becoming his disciple a focus this year. It will revolutionize your whole life. And so my desire is that we'd go deep. And I'm going to share the results of a study. But one more thing before I do. The reason, like, I feel so passionately about this is because the pastors can't do it all. So Mika was up here, and there's other people in the room. Jim was a pastor at one point in his life, and I know Jim and Joanne are here, led a counseling center for years and have had a huge spiritual impact. Like, the people that are in official paid positions of ministry can't reach all the people that need to be reached. You just can't. Like, so us together as a body of Christ, as we become more like him, we pick up his work and we do it together, arm in arm. And you know, I was thinking about this last few weeks, because sometimes people come to Transformation Church and they're like, oh, God did so much in me and he changed me so much and I had this great interaction with maybe the pastor or somebody from there. And you know what I always think in my mind? I'm always like, that's great, but they're going to tell all their friends and somebody's going to come someday and one of us will be having a bad day. And if all of the expectation is on the pastor or the people that are in leadership to be like these perfect Christians, And the expectation just stops at the people are going to be let down. They're going to be discouraged. But if we teach people, like, we actually are serving a perfect God. He's the one who never fails us. He's the one who never lets us down. And we can remind each other of that. God will use that powerfully. He wants to use you as much or more as he wants to use even the pastors and leaders. Like, I really believe that as God does a work inside of our hearts, he uses us in incredible, incredible ways. So even when you're having a conversation afterwards and someone's maybe slipping into negativity, like, as you grow in your walk with Christ, you don't have to think, I need to go get the pastor. like God will start to speak through you and you can challenge that person because God wants to do that work in us. And so that's why I think discipleship is so key and important. So there's four things you can do, and this will be on the screen. Church attendance is huge. And again, we celebrate, and this morning's a good example to do it. Like, I love other churches in the city of Thunder Bay that love Jesus. And so if you're part of Thunder Hop or another church that loves Jesus and follows the scripture, plug in. Like, go. Be involved in what's going on there. Bible reading, prayer, and small groups are things that we can do to grow spiritually. And I want to focus on Bible reading. So I'm going to give you some statistics in a second. And this comes from a study. There's a research group down in the States that did this is a huge study. They did an 8-year study of over 100,000 people. And what they were looking at was, what kind of an impact does reading the scriptures actually have on a person's life? And so this was the thing that stuck out to me most about that study. So they studied people that read the Bible once a week. It had almost no impact on their life. They studied people that read the Bible twice a week. It had almost no impact on their life. People that were reading the Bible 3 times a week, you ever see those heart monitors, like, or the EKG things where there's like a blip? So when people were reading the Bible 3 times a week, there was like this blip, okay? It had like a little impact on their life, okay? It was like boop. But for people that were reading the Bible 4 times a week, there was a massive impact on those people's lives, okay? And it's not like, it's not just that there's this formula that if you read this book, but like God has given us the scriptures as one of the main ways he wants to speak to us. There's so much in here. Like when I am tempted to have a really horrible, rotten attitude, there's like a flood of scriptures that come to my mind where I go, that's not how God desires for me to live. And then I feel condemnation and upset. And then I have another flood of scriptures that come about how God promised to fill us with his Holy Spirit to actually empower us to live that way. And I'm like, oh, it's not all about me. I don't have to do this in my own strength. I can actually trust God. God speaks through his word in powerful, powerful ways. So people that are reading 4 times a week, there is a massive difference in their lives. And so some of the statistics are going to be on the screen. This is crazy. If you want me to send you the actual whole study, I can do that. I can send it in email. I just did a few highlights. But for people that were reading 4 times a week, their excessive drinking in the lives of those people went down by 62%. Viewing pornography went down by 59%. Sex outside of marriage went down by 59%. Gambling went down by 45%. Lashing out in anger, 31%. Gossiping, 28%. I got to gossiping and I was like, I wonder why that one was so low, right? You ever notice that when you're like talking to somebody long enough, like you start having conversations where you go, I wonder if that's gossip. Part of, I believe, what would bring that percentage even higher to make the gossiping lower, that makes sense, right? Bring the higher, is accountability. And so scripture reading is really, really important, but they're only studying scripture reading. And so in this study, I don't think they're looking at, I'm almost positive, they're looking at people that are also meeting with somebody else on a regular basis to ask, how are you doing spiritually? That would change that as well. But gossiping went down 28%, feeling discouraged down 31%, feeling spiritually stagnant down by 60%, feeling like you don't please God down by 44%. The next slide is the positive impact. People that are reading 4 times a week, giving was up by 416%, discipling others was up by 231%, memorizing scripture up by 407%, sharing your faith with others was up by 228%, and giving to other causes outside of the church, just good causes to give to, was up by 218%. And so that encourages me. And so I'm going to explain what we're doing briefly and then turn it over to my dad. But I really want to challenge you to journey with us this year through the New Testament. So starting today, we're going to commit to reading 5 chapters a week for all of 2020. And by the last Sunday of December, we'll have read through the entire New Testament. So 5 chapters a week is 260 chapters in the whole year. That's how many chapters there are in the New Testament. So if we start this week, that will get us through the entire New Testament. But I believe these percentages in our context could actually be even more positive because we're not just going to agree to reading, but on the Sunday, so this week, if you pick this challenge up, you'll read the first 5 chapters of Matthew. Next Sunday, the sermon will be based on some passage from those 5 chapters. And then the next week, it'll be based on from 6 to 10, and then from 11 to 15, 16. however that goes. So we're going to read 5 chapters a week. The sermon will be based on that. But not only that, life groups, if you're involved in a life group, we're going to journey through this together. And our life group is going to be based on the 5 chapters that we read previously. So we'll actually journey through the New Testament. So maybe you're intimidated by reading scripture and you're like, I don't think I can do that. I don't understand it. We're going to be doing this together, and our life groups are going to be a time where we're welcoming questions. So maybe you'll read something in Acts where you go, that seems really harsh. Or like the example of what I read this morning from Hebrews, you might go, that God seems really harsh, the way that he said that about us being spiritual babes. You bring that up in a life group, and we work through that together. We talk about it. And if you're not in a life group, and this is what I'm encouraging you to do, is just like get together with somebody for coffee, whether it's your spouse or a friend, and just talk about the scriptures that you're reading. Because just reading the scriptures is a huge step. And starting off by saying, God, please help me to understand what you're saying. Help me to hear your voice. Like, that's massive. It's huge. But having somebody else with skin on to talk about it with is hugely important. And I can say this from personal experience. In my life, I've got people that if I'm struggling with something, I call them up, I talk to them face to face, and I ask them to hold me accountable, and that'll help hugely. Megan was incredibly helpful in making up this. I'm going to pass one of these out to everybody. I wanted to say that I worked for hours and hours and made this. But lying there, you see that goes down. And so Megan did a lot of work to put our whole year on one handout. Okay, so in this handout, you're going to see a brief explanation of the year, of what this year looks like, and right here there's a cutout, and this is designed so you can cut this out and you can follow through the whole year, the 5 chapters a week, and you can stick this right in your Bible. It's the perfect size for a Bible, so it's the front and back of all 52 weeks, and you can just check off after the week is done and you've read those 5 chapters. You can check that off and just work through the New Testament together. And the last thing I'm going to point out, and then I'll get my dad to come up, is the other thing we're encouraging you to do is I've got about 16 journals here. I wish I had more, but they're for whoever gets here first. So just run up and plow. You know, the violent shall take the kingdom by force, right? So if you want a journal and you really want to grow, you might have to just charge the front. I'm just joking. But we can make sure that you get them. But this is what we're encouraging you to do on a daily basis as you're journaling through the New Testament. And there's an example both online, so there's all kinds of explanation about this online on our website, which there's a web address here, and it's also here briefly. But as you read a chapter of scripture that you would soap, we all need to clean, right? Can you imagine if we hadn't showered for 3 weeks? Sometimes Vicky and I experience that with our kids. We're like, go take a shower. So you get smelly, right? Cleaning is really important. So SOAP, the acronym stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. And so there's an example up here. If you were reading 1 Samuel as your devotion for the day, you might write a verse that stuck out to you, and then from that verse you might make an observation, and then an application, how that somehow applies to your life, and then a prayer. God, please help me to actually apply this and live my life. So I'm going to close by getting Jean and Shauna to pass these out, and we do have quite a few of these. So if you're not, if you don't come here on a regular basis, you can feel free to take one if you want. And I'll do another brief explanation of this next week. But I just want to encourage you to begin this journey this week and read through those 5 chapters. And if you get through the 5 chapters and you still, it's Saturday and you're like, oh, I don't know if I should read the scriptures. Like, just go back and meditate on something that God had spoken to you. And I'm really believing that God is going to help us grow deeper as a community in our faith. That he'll actually help us to grow in our confidence as his followers, as his people, and even as people he's called to just minister and reach out to those around us. So I'm going to actually, for real, get my dad to come up now and have him share with us. Okay. Do we have any? We have some more. I'll grab some more downstairs. Yeah, I'll go.
Well, good morning. Really nice to see everybody out here on a great snowy day. If it snows anymore, we could just stay here, couldn't we? Paul preached so long one night, there was a guy who fell out of a balcony and out of a window and died. Thank God he raised him from the dead. Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to, I don't take a lot of time this morning, but just want to follow up on what Nathan was sharing. When Nathan got sharing this with me, it really blessed me, and I started just pondering over the weekend and thinking, you know, I look back at what really changed my life, and there was a couple of inputs from people that actually read Scripture. And if you look over your life, the people that probably impacted you the most have been people that were illuminated by the Spirit in some way. You know, a lot of the world is discouraged with Christianity today because a lot goes on in his name. But those that were walking spiritually, they have incredible impact upon the earth because there's light that shines out of their spirit. Amen? So, Father, I just pray, Lord, as we open up, just look at a few scriptures this morning, that you just illuminate our spirit. Lord, let us see the light that shines through your word. You said if we would read your word and seek your word, it would be a lamp unto our path. And Lord, I pray you'd open our eyes spiritually to see those in our network that are like a light, that there's a light that shines through their spirit. And there's a reason for that. People that are cultivating a personal relationship with Jesus on a daily basis. We just saw the statistics, Lord, those that read scriptures four times a week or more, even more than that, Lord. There's something happens. We have tools to work with we didn't know, understanding that we didn't have before we began to look to you. And so I pray you to illuminate our minds this morning. Let us see Jesus. He is your living, spoken word. It's one thing to read words on a page in the Bible, but to know that Jesus is the living word that lives through our hearts and our minds. And Lord, help us to learn how to welcome him in every way, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to just share a little bit of my journey. And I was just thinking as Nathan was sharing this morning, I grew up in a family where I lost my mom and dad at a young age. Some of you have read my story. Some of you have heard my story. My dad went off to prison very young. And my mother was overwhelmed, met another man, and went off to California. And so I grew up in my grandparents' home. And I was just thinking over this weekend, I'm really glad that I was adopted into my grandparents' home. Otherwise, I would have lost touch with my family, my roots. You know, I'm just thankful that I had that privilege of still being connected to family and some of my history. However, I didn't see it as a very positive thing growing up. You know, when you don't have your mom and dad, it's kind of an empty life. You feel like you've been abandoned, you've been left. If anybody else has felt that, you know what I'm talking about. If you have a mother or father that's not there. And the enemy overwhelms a child, and you end up feeling darkness swirls in upon you. You just don't feel accepted. And I remember all through my life, never really feeling accepted at any time. I really didn't. And I remember growing up, in my family had four uncles that were not in prison at that time, an aunt. And just feeling like I didn't fit into this family. My grandparents had already raised six of their own. So it was always, you know, going out and play. I was always pushed out the door. And I knew I wasn't really, really welcome there. And looking back as an adult, I just know she was overwhelmed. Raised six children on her own. Did the best she could, but raised six children on her own. And then had an alcoholic husband who was severely a drunk and really abusive in the family. And I felt bad for her later on, but she had an overwhelming time. But growing up when you're a kid, you don't know all that. You know, the things that we're exposed to as children, we have no idea how our choices, the enemy takes that and magnifies darkness in the heart of a child, or has a child being abused, or something happening that just hurts the inner being of that person. And so we grew up with abandonments, with rejections, and I grew up with those feelings of abandonment and rejection. However, into my teens, as I began visiting my dad in prison, I was modeling myself after him and really modeling myself after a bad character at that time, though I loved my dad and thought he was the greatest man on the planet. His choices to walk in darkness led me down that same path. But in my mid-teens, there was an uncle who came home and said he had been born again. And we had no idea what born again meant. Our exposure to religion was bad, so we mocked him. You know, Dave was the first one in our family. Thank God he came to faith, but we kind of mocked him and laughed at him. But I had to admit, I saw change in this man. You know, Dave had something, a peace came over him. All the others are waking up hungover and talking about what a great night they had the night before, but they don't look good. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've been that guy, been that woman. Hey, we had a great time last night, and you're puking your guts out, and you're sick, and it's a messy life. It's just ugly. The enemy deceives us. But Dave was the first seed in my heart that I saw a change in front of my eyes, slowly. And then my grandfather began to go to church with him on a Sunday. And so they'd come back after a Sunday morning, and I'd say, like, Dave, where do you go every Sunday morning? Like, every Sunday you come in, you pick up my granddad, and you go out, and you come back all chirpy. And he said, well, I go to a little church up the road. And so I said, well, can I go with you? And it was the Lord at work in my heart, though I wasn't aware of it at the time. I just was curious what was happening. I wasn't ready to become a Christian, and I didn't. But I went to that church, and I'd see the pastor open up his scripture and start preaching from the Bible. And because I was in such darkness, I could literally see a glow coming out of his spirit, like that light. And I'm like, what is that? God was opening just a little bit in my life to see there was something that some people had. And I look around at all the other members of the church, and I didn't see it in everybody, but I saw it in him. And then he'd be at the back door on the way out, and a big hand would come into mine, Cal, so good to see you. Please come back again. And I felt this warmth, this something good coming from this man that I didn't have off any of the males in my family. And God puts those contrasts in our spirit. And it's always people that are reading their scriptures and walking with the Lord. Though we're not aware of it, we have benefited, all of us have benefited at some point in our life by someone who's read and believed the scriptures. Would you agree? Just look around at your network. Somewhere in your network, before you came to faith, was there somebody praying for you? Or an ancestor way back? God, please, you know. And I found out just a few years ago that our Maskery family was a very dark, dark family. But several generations back, one of my family married into the line of the Booths, Salvation Army. Somebody's known as William Booth. Lottie Booth was married my great-grandfather. And she was a prayer warrior. And I know from her exposure in her day, because I know what happened to William Booth, that she was praying for our family generations later. And all of a sudden, Dave exposes us to this church. God plants some seeds in my life. I see a contrast. I go back into darkness. I was not ready to become a Christian. I just was heading into darkness. I remember I was just reading a little bit of my daughter's book while I was here this weekend. I'm staying at a house where I'm at. And I was just touched this weekend about, I remember being 16, 15 years old and going to that church. And I really was fascinated at that time with the pastor's daughter. I just saw a light in her, and I just thought she was beautiful, and she was 16. And I remember after going a little while, I finally got the courage up enough to ask her for a date. And she said yes. And because of how I felt about myself, I never followed up on it. I didn't feel good enough. And I was sitting here this morning, looking at my family here in front of me, and I thought, I'm glad that didn't work out, you know, at that time. But for whatever reason, I rejected goodness in my life. I was sabotaging at that time my future. And some of you will know what I'm talking about. We sabotage ourselves just before good things happen, because we can't believe that we can measure up to anything that's good. Anybody know what I'm talking about? In our feeling level, we have those feelings. We just, even when you're exposed to good things, you just somehow don't feel a part because you don't feel good enough. And the beautiful truth is, none of us are good enough. If we could only get that from the time we're a kid. How many of you grew up as a kid thinking you were different in a bad way? How many felt different? Come on, be bold. I want you to see how common this is. We felt different, and different was bad. I don't fit in. I'm not part of them. They'd never accept me if they knew who I was. They'd never let me into their living room if they knew where I'd been, things that I'd done. And so different was bad. But I wish I had known as a kid that God thinks different is good. None of us are made the same. So of course we're different. Of course we're completely different from the people around us. We need to learn to be loving and accepting of one another to be the family that God has called us to be. Would you agree? Different is good. So I want to tell you this morning, if you grew up feeling different, don't let the enemy shame you any longer. You were different, you are different, and you always will be different. Always. But different, see different as good. I was unique, but I saw different as bad, so I backed out of all that. And I left the church. And after my exposure to the church, things got even darker over the next 5 years of my life, until I ended up in and out of jail with my dad several times. In and out four times with the Calgary to start over again. You can read my story, the rest of it. And I ended up in prison down east. And while I was down east in a prison cell, I'm locked up and I'm really at the end of my life. I feel like I've ruined it. I've got no future. And I just wanted to die. 22 years old, and I just wanted to die. I didn't want to live anymore. And while in a lockup unit, a few spiritual encounters you can read about with darkness. But I heard the gospel. Billy Graham come on TV. And I never thought about it then. But two cell blocks of men, and nobody yelled, change the station. I know there was other men listening to that gospel that night, because they had people praying for them as well. And I listened, and I heard a man who believed the Bible. He believed the scriptures. And because he believed it and read it and believed it, he preached it. And I'm so thankful for that man that preached the gospel. And I heard the clear gospel, for God so loved the world. Just a simple verse that he believed, and he went all over the world proclaiming this gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, I'm a whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And that message was so simple, it got through to me. He didn't tell me I was going to hell, didn't tell me, he might have said it in his message, I didn't hear it. I didn't hear about going to church, I didn't hear about being good, not measuring up. All I heard was, for God so loved the world. And a little bit of hope came into my heart because somebody believed the scripture and proclaimed it. Somebody went beyond the local church to get out into the public places and proclaim the gospel. Some people got behind the ministry of Billy Graham and paid for programming to be telecast into a maximum security segregation unit in Dorchester Penitentiary. I said, thank you, Lord, for all the believers. And Billy Graham be the first to tell you that his ministry, he only came in to speak at the very end. All the people that supported it and did all the work and all the legwork for that, people that shared their faith and brought people to the Crusades, thousands and thousands got saved because God's people were at work praying. Amen? And that impacted me. And I began to read the scripture. And here's what I want to share with you this morning, just to follow up on what Nathan's doing here with the church. Is I wrote my Aunt Joy, and I said, Joy, I've given my heart. She was the second one that came to faith. She was on her way to becoming an alcoholic, had been betrayed by her fiancé, ended up in severe drinking issues, but saw the change in her brother Dave. And while I was away from home, she came to know the Lord and married the minister's son of that church. So here God, in his smooth way of operating, has my uncle come to faith. His wife left him, by the way. He lost his wife because he came to faith. He didn't have an easy journey. His wife left him because he became a Christian. However, Joy saw how he handled all that, came to faith herself. Now, she's praying for me. God, please give Cal a chance to know you. And she writes me back and says, Cal, please read the Gospel of John. And I'm telling you, this changed my life forever. That was almost 37 years ago. It is 37 years ago now. And she said, Cal, and it started me reading the scriptures, and I never stopped. And it wasn't just 4 days a week. It ended up being 7 days a week for hours a day because I had time to do it. I had God put me in a place where he had access to me by just reading this Bible. And I began to read it and pore over it. But here's what I want to tell you. The Bible almost makes no sense unless you also welcome his spirit. Some people have read the Bible and they become cranky Christians. Seriously, you met some of them? Some of them are cranky, judgmental Christians. If you don't read the King James Bible, you're not going to heaven. I was one of those guys because I got saved through King James Bible. And then one day I'm doing a bit of church history and I realized the King James Bible only came about in 1611. What did God do for 1600 years without the King James Bible? And I'm like, whoa, God, like opened my mind up a little bit here, you know. And so God began to show me. And then I began to meet other people that were illuminated. And I just wanted to, I know sometimes we think, you know, you have to go into extreme darkness to experience the light. You know, people hear my story and they say, oh, I'm so glad you got saved and God must have done a great thing in your life. I was in such darkness that the light was so bright when I saw it that, yeah, it had a great effect upon me. But there's millions that just grew up, maybe didn't do all those terrible, extreme things that I did, and just begin to believe and begin to have encounters with the Lord. It doesn't matter what you go through. When you begin to interact with scriptures, it will have an effect on you if you're welcoming it into your life. How many know nobody ever got drunk looking at a bottle of liquor on the shelf? True? You can stare at a bottle of rum, bottle of whiskey on the shelf and never come under its influence. You're in the same room. Others take off the cap and they begin to drink it and they come under its influence. And it's the same thing with the presence of God. You can stare at the Bible, you can hear someone preaching it, but when you welcome it into your interior, you'll come under his influence and you'll feel like you're high. Our favorite saying at our recovery center on High Street in Moncton is, there's no high like the Most High. You know, people say, what, you got a recovery center on High Street in Moncton? I said, yes, we do. God told us to raise people up on their faith in High Street and teach them how to stand in their faith. There's no high like the Most High God. But you know what? That comes to the quietest, most gentle person that begins to believe too. It may not be as bright a light because some people are already walking in a measure of God's light. And I know there's millions of people that grew up, they don't remember when they really had their encounter. All they know is they begin to go to church, they begin to believe, they begin to grow. Their testimony may not be as radical as the one who was in darkness and locked up in prison and saw the light. Wow, you know, started following God. Nathan, my son, was dedicated to the Lord at birth. And the only reason he was dedicated to the Lord at birth, I panicked when I had this baby in my hands. A year after I get out, I have no idea how to be a father. And I didn't do it out of a good plan as a Christian to dedicate him to the Lord. I did it out of sheer panic. You know, he came out of the womb, and I'm just like, God, you take him. You know, let him serve you all the days of his life. Let him not see the family that I grew up in. Let us not see the bondage and the wickedness. Let him see you all the days of his life. That's what I prayed in the hospital. And to see this today, to see my son here and my daughter Alicia and Kayla came along, the same thing. Now I got two girls. What do I do with a girl? Lord, here, you know. And I did that with all my kids. I dedicated them to the Lord. I didn't know how to raise kids. I had no idea. I didn't know how to be a husband. I had just gotten out of prison. I just wanted to save the world. But whether you grow up in the house of God and believe, or whether you go way out into the world and begin to believe, your responses to the light will be different initially. Can you imagine Samuel, dedicated to the Lord as a baby, grew up in the temple, didn't even know the voice of the Lord until the God began to reveal himself to Samuel one day. He grew up in the things of God, but didn't yet have a personal awakening. You read through the story and you'll see it. And all of a sudden, one day, God says, Samuel. And he wakes up and goes running to Eli, the priest. Eli, you called me. And Eli says, no, I didn't call you. He says, go back to sleep. You know, Samuel. And he goes running back to Eli again. And Eli still doesn't get it. Samuel, go back to sleep. No, I didn't call you. The third time, he lays down. Samuel. He's running back to Eli. He says, you did call me. And Samuel finally caught on. He was a bit dull for a little bit. He finally caught on. And he said, next time you hear that voice, say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. And sure enough, the Lord calls him again. And Samuel says, speak, Lord, for your servant is a little boy. And God began to speak. And his first word was to correct Eli. Imagine, this boy raised up to hear the voice of God to correct Eli. And God began to train Samuel to hear the voice of the Lord. But he never knew the world. Samuel didn't go out in the darkness. He didn't go and experiment fully with his sinful nature. To find out he needed God, he began to be called on by God. And I believe many of you, you're here today, whatever your experience has been, God has been awakening you and calling you into a purpose. However gentle that is, you just begin to have a desire for something different. How many of you grew up, and you can be honest, at some point in your life, you just said, there's got to be more. There's got to be a reason why I'm here. Is this all there is? You know, we have all those, that is the work of the Lord. And that's the beginning of a call. So I'm just going to ask my wife to come up here for just a couple minutes. I'm going to put her on the spot. And I just want Rose, because Rose and I come from two totally, totally different backgrounds. And yet, we both met in prison, crazy enough as that is. Like, how she ended up in prison is very different from how I ended up in prison. I do like to set her up once in a while, and I say, I met my wife in prison. You can ask her why she was there, you know, but she was there. But just, I just want you to just tell your personal awakening, because you didn't grow up in the lifestyle I did. She grew up in the church. And so just take a moment and just tell us when that moment of awakening.
You're in the doghouse tonight. I grew up in a very ritual church. And when I was about 15, 16 years old, I knew there was something out there that I had to have in here. Even though I went to church, I started reading the King James Version. And it was really hard to understand, but I knew just listening to the pastor or the preacher speak every Sunday morning, the priest, I knew that there was something that I had to have in here. It couldn't be out there. So I decided to go to school, and I decided to apply for different schools, and I went to ABC. Now it's called Crandall, and I went for a year. I went to a Leighton Ford crusade. I think it was about a month, 2 months into going to the school, that I accepted the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. And I realized that as a little girl that he was out here, but all of a sudden I found him in here. And there was one night I said, Lord, what do you have for me? I'm just so simple. And a long story short, the ones that read the story, I met my husband, Cal, and the Lord made it very, very clear, without the knowledge of going to school, that I was going to have a husband and he was going to serve Jesus. And I was going to have children and they were all going to serve the Lord. So I had that simple faith, not knowing enough about the Bible. I just knew that I knew that I knew that my children were all going to serve the Lord, and they were going to have spouses that were going to be a perfect fit for them. And they do. They all have perfect spouses for them. And all these years, I always felt that Cal, even Nathan growing up, like just listening to their testimony and listening to them how they speak, it was like they're just so adequate in how they share. Like, what can I share? And the Lord said, I have given you a simple faith to believe without knowing why, but you just knew. And so all of a sudden, this God that was out here was in here, and now I have a purpose. And I read every morning. I read 4 or 5 chapters every morning. Nathan gave me that SOAP, S-O-A-P, about 2 years ago. And I have applied that to my spiritual life. And it has, and am I the same as Cal as a speaker? Nathan? No. I don't speak a lot, as you can see. But I did make a promise to the Lord that if anybody had ever asked me to speak, that I would not say no. And so, yeah.
Just one yeah. And just one last question, just because I know her story a little bit. About 6 months before Rose went to the college, she just began to read the Bible because she thought if the priest could read it, why couldn't she? So she began to read it, but it was just black and white. But what happened after you personally invited Christ in? You continued to read the Bible. I just want to hear about what happened then.
It became alive. Like the God out there that I wanted was all of a sudden inside of me. And the scriptures was so alive. Like it was amazingly alive. And I didn't go into it without with this emotion or with this feeling. I just knew that the Lord said, if you follow me, I will be your guide. I will be your God. And as I did that, the scriptures came alive. So when Jesus became personal in my life, that's when the scriptures came alive to me.
Amen. There's no dog houses here in Thunder Bay, right? I'm here for one more night. We're good. Amen. I don't even think about making one. But anyway, just that caught my attention when Rose shared that, because the scriptures never really came alive in her, though she was reading it prior to her inviting Christ to come in personally. Because she always thought she was a good girl, she was a Christian because she went to church and read the Bible. And I believe many people grow up that way. We think, oh, I must be a Christian because I grew up in a Christian home or things like that. And that's not true. We're exposed to it because we grew up in a Christian home. But there's a point where you have to have your own faith. The reason we're told by God to train our children up in the way they should go is so that when they're old, they won't depart from the training, and we're praying the words will come alive in their spirit. Amen? So we need to have that awakening. So if you've been one who's been reading scripture, and maybe you feel in condemnation from the enemy, how come you're not getting what other people get out of it? Don't listen to that condemnation. Just start reading, continue to read, but do it with prayer. Lord, would you show me your way? Would you show me? Are you able to bring up a scripture, 1 John 2:27? Could you do that? If anybody could do that? 1 John 2:27. This is a scripture that totally changed my life, and I'd like to give it to you this morning. But I do want to share this. The spiritual journey that you're on, I was excited when I heard where Nathan was going with this, and I'll tell you why. About a month and a half ago, I had two dreams. One went right into the other. And the first dream, I've been out. I have somebody kind of replacing me in Moncton. I have an assistant in Moncton that does the work that I have been doing and a little bit more. And I've been freed up 50% to 75% of my time to go traveling and doing outreach events, Hope Rally. Some of you were at the Hope Rally we did here. We're doing them in New Brunswick at present. And I'm beginning to reach out beyond the local church and help churches reach out beyond their walls. Amen? And so that's been my passion. So in this dream, I was out setting up a Hope Rally, but I was supposed to come and preach in Nathan's church. And it wasn't this church, it was the congregation was huge. There was like hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe even 1,000, I don't remember, but hundreds of people. And as I was preparing for this outreach event, my passion was for the lost And I'm out setting up these events, and I knew I had to get back to speak at this service. Anyway, I was late getting back. And when I got to the service, Nathan had already had to bring the word. And people were leaving the church. I mean, and they were on fire. People were passionate. I could feel the presence of God raised up out of an army of people that were walking out of the presence of God. And I could feel it. I said, whoa. So I was free to go and do off what I was called to do. God had given Nathan an anointing in the church. And I thought, isn't that how it's supposed to work together? Some of us are called to go out and bring them in. And some of us are called to help train them up. But I believe there's an anointing coming in this church and in this region, as their brother shared, as Nathan's heart is to connect with other leaders and other pastors. And God bless you, brother, for coming this morning. I just appreciate your heart, Mika, a lot. God bless you. And when pastors get together, something begins to happen because doors begin to open for greater levels of ministry. And so I believe that what's going to happen as this timing of you guys beginning to enter into scriptures, those of you, I want to encourage every one of you here, take this serious. Let's see what happens by this time next year. A year of reading through the New Testament, but not only reading it in your own life, praying, God, would you illuminate my mind? Did that, is that scripture you look them up? This scripture, is it, here it is. This scripture, when I was reading through it in a dark place, it was in my prison cell, and I remember saying, God, how am I going to learn? I have no pastor, I'm still in isolation. And I began to read this scripture that my aunt told me to read, the Gospel of John, and I went into the wrong place in John, I thought. I went into I don't need that. I can look at here. I can see it right there. Here we go. Okay. I'm trying to follow Nathan's lead there. So where are we? Christ anointing, no less. Okay. But they are no match for what is embedded deeply within you. Christ's anointing, no less. You don't need any of their so-called teaching. Christ's anointing teaches you the truth on everything you need to know about yourself and him, uncontaminated by a single lie. Live deeply in what you were taught. And when I read that in scripture, but the anointing that we received from him, before I was a believer, his presence was around me because people were praying. And he was bringing conviction about in my heart. But I didn't have him inside of me until I asked Jesus to come into my life. So you picture the anointing of God around people because of prayer. And I believe some of you are alive today because somebody prayed for you and you survived some things that the enemy had planned to take you out. He planned to destroy your family. But because of prayer, that anointing that caused us to ask those questions, why am I here? All of a sudden, this anointing, when you invite Christ to come in, look what it says. Christ's anointing, no less. You don't need any of their so-called teaching. On the way, where's it there? But here, and here he's saying you don't need that a man should teach you. But it's the same anointing. His anointing who's come into your life will teach you everything you're ever going to need to learn. Everything. His anointing, the oil of his spirit, his presence will soak down into you as you're reading scripture in a prayerful way. And all of a sudden, you begin to feel things. May not happen today, may not happen next week, but somewhere over this next year, I believe many of you are going to begin to have encounters with him, where you're going to know that you know that you know that he's speaking to you. And here's what I want to challenge you, because And I really encourage you to take this serious. The reading of scripture, the devil will fight any church from the leaders having access to the Bible, reading scripture, because it'll grow you up. And as you grow up and knowing the word, it's going to come spilling out of you everywhere. I was a very quiet person before I went to prison, believe it or not. I only was foolish when I was drinking, seriously. I was not a confident person whatsoever, very introverted. And when I began to read the scripture long enough, by the time I got out, it was coming out of me everywhere. I couldn't believe what I was out telling people about the Lord. I couldn't believe I'd walk up to people and tell them that Jesus loved them. I'd go in a coffee shop and I'd say, you know Jesus, don't you? Well, how do you know that? I said, well, I can see it in you. You got a peace in your spirit that the world didn't give you. I know where you got it from. And they said, well, thank you very much. I did that a lot in Tim Hortons, the restaurants. I'd see people that had that spirit. You know, and I was so excited about it. And the awakenings that I was having, I was on overflow. There's a verse in John 7:38. He that believes on me... And it's not just believing, it's as the scriptures have said. The scriptures will give you an accurate understanding of Jesus. An accurate, especially the gospels. I'm so glad you're going to go through four gospels. You're going to go through four gospels. Open your mind and heart and let him change you and become more Christ-like. But here's what I want to ask you. As a result of this, and you'll grow exponentially if you do this, as you commit to prayer and reading scripture, there will come a time when you just get a little prompting to do something. a little thought. That's not out of the ordinary. Just go with it. I started journeying with this many years ago, and God's taken me on an incredible adventure. And when he gives me a thought, I begin to follow it. And I first learned it from my wife. She was in a volunteer. Wasn't in very long. I was just a couple months in the Lord, maybe. And I remember asking God, God, I know I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven, but what do you want me to do with the rest of my life? And Rose called me aside. I didn't know I was praying. And said, Cal, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. We weren't even dating then. And I said, sure. And she says, God told me to tell you, you're going to be a preacher. I'm like, what? What do you mean God told you to tell me? I was not expecting that. Didn't want to hear that. Wasn't excited about it. I'm very quiet, remember? I don't see myself getting up and preaching. And I said, how do you know that? How do you know God said to do that? And she said, well, she was walking through the Victoria Park, which our mission is one block away now. She was walking through Victoria Park in Moncton to a city I'd never been. And she said, all of a sudden, I get these clear thoughts in my mind. Tell Cal he's going to be a preacher. She said, why would I be thinking that? I have to believe that's God. And so she risked telling me. And it confirmed and set me on a course of action to want to know that same voice that others could hear. And so I have experimented with that over the years of my life. And I got to tell you, every time I followed that prompting, something good has come out of it. Times when I've missed it, I feel like somebody else lost what I could have done at that moment. And so don't ever be condemned over that, but learn those promptings that are out of the ordinary, just trust us, the Lord. And if you follow those little promptings today, they'll get more clear tomorrow. They'll get more specific, and you go on a journey of faith that's really, really exciting. How many of you have ever had somebody speak into you by the Spirit of the Lord? Put your hand right up. How exciting was that to you? Was it a confirmation most times that you were praying about something or God set in motion or encouraged you? What if God's church began to rise up and walk in the things of the Spirit and begin to just speak out? You're at a bus stop and God tells you to go tell that person I love them. That's not normal. That's not the devil telling you to do that. I'll tell you that. He's not telling you to go tell someone that Jesus loves them. And you just go up and say, you know what? I don't know why, but I just feel to tell you that God wants you to know that Jesus loves you. You know a preacher did that to David Wilkerson? And guess what he did? You know, he impacted Nikki Cruz's life powerfully. Or it was David Wilkerson spoke that into Nikki Cruz. Jesus loves you. Nikki was so angry. You tell me that one more time, preacher, and I'm going to cut you up into 1,000 pieces when he pulled out his switchblade. And all the preacher could say, Nikki, you might cut me up into 1,000 pieces, but every piece is going to say, Jesus loves you. You know, and it impacted him. He couldn't fight that kind of love. The simple message of the gospel. And so I want to encourage you, read the scripture, pray, and welcome in this anointing. Don't let it just hover over you. Welcome him into the interior. And then whatever he reveals to you over this next year, just say, Lord, if you make it clear enough that I know it's not me, I'm just willing to do it. So you're home washing dishes, changing diapers, and all of a sudden someone comes to your mind. Either you pray for them, and if you pray for them and it doesn't go away, call them. I don't know why, but you're just on my mind right now. And as you're sharing with them, it either encourages them or God gives you a word for them. And Jesus becomes alive to that person. Amen? So I want to encourage you, anything out of the ordinary over this next year, would you be willing to do it? Would you be willing just to step out of your comfort zone? Many of you are here today because somebody stepped out of their comfort zone and told you that God loves you. Or they spoke into you in some way. Or you saw a light in them because they were reading and following the scripture. What an incredible thing when we follow the way of the Lord. People are going to be blessed. And I want to see the day where I saw in my dream, Nathan, when the church is just exploding with people that were on fire. And I come into the midst of it, and I could feel the presence of God before I even got into the church. And I knew I didn't need to be there that day because the word was preached and people were on fire. And I said, praise the Lord. You know, God raised up people who are passionate for Jesus, truly passionate. We're going to have the worship team come on up, and I'd just like to pray, if that's okay, pray over you. Can we all just stand for a moment? I could just pray a blessing over you. And especially just before they begin to play, especially for those of you that may, you know, you hear about this anointing, you hear about this presence of God, and maybe there's something in your heart that says, I'm not sure I'm really experiencing that. You know, maybe you've believed. You know, Peter, one of the other apostles, went when the gospel was preached and found out that they hadn't welcomed the Holy Spirit yet. They believed, but there's a presence that comes. Jesus went back to the Father, so that he could ask him to fill all you who believe with his personal presence. What a gift. And maybe you may feel him today. You may feel him 2 weeks into your reading of Scripture, or 6 months from now. It doesn't matter when it happens. As long as that ignite happens in your spirit, and you begin to know and personally walk with his presence. Amen? So just get comfortable for just a moment. Just get comfortable in yourself, and I just want to pray a blessing over you. And in your own heart, I want you just to welcome him. Say, Lord, I welcome this anointing. I want to understand Scripture. I don't want to read it with just my mind. I don't want to be limited. The Bible says the natural man cannot, you know, conceive the things of the Spirit. The natural mind is incapable of understanding the things of the Spirit. Doesn't mean we should just set it aside entirely. But what it's saying is that we need to be renewed in our mind to become more Christ-like in our thinking. But there's also a presence that wants to just dwell within you and comfort those empty places. I know some of you really wrestle with some depression at times. Some of you wrestle with just feeling, do I really feel connected to the body of Christ? This is about accepting his presence. And his presence will baptize you into the body of believers. The Bible talks about water baptism, spirit baptism. But there's also a baptism where you need to be baptized and immersed in the believing community to really function well. And that's what accountability groups is all about. I want to encourage you, get involved in the accountability groups because it'll help you to grow.